The J-Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the J-Talk Podcast. I'm Ben Maxwell. Last Sunday, August the 28th, was a quiet afternoon and evening in the J-League. There was no J1 games scheduled and just three in each of J2 and J3. But lower down the Japanese footballing pyramid, a brand new club was just wrapping up their first season. And joining me to chat about the story of Kamui FC is the founder, the owner, the president, the chairman. I don't know, Cesare, you've got so many roles. You've done everything except play left back for the club in their first season. Cesare Palenghi, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
Thanks very much. That's the best introduction I ever had, I think. Thank you very much. Great to be back. As usual, it's an honor and a privilege. It's just my chance here to thank you for all the work we're doing. In last time we talked was like 300 episodes, something like that. How many episodes do we have now?
Yes, we're up to 430 now, so we're rolling along very nicely. This is definitely, I think, one of the most unique episodes we've ever done on J-Talk. As I kind of explained, you literally formed a club out of thin air up in Hokkaido. So you moved up there in 2019. You moved to rural Hokkaido, to Higashikawa-cho. So first things first, explain to the listeners who aren't familiar with that situation, where is Higashikawa-cho if they're looking at a map of Hokkaido?
Higashikawa-cho is right in the middle. I mean, it's just if you point your finger on the middle of that, you know, sort of like almost squared, you know, like tilted square. Mm-hmm. Shape. It's right there. I mean, it could be the navel of Hokkaido. It's, if you're looking for some references, you know, like, well, Asahi Dake Mountain, that's the tallest mountain in Hokkaido, is there. Furano is nearby, and the biggest city next to our village is Asahikawa. Mm-hmm. Asahikawa is the second biggest city in Hokkaido after Sapporo. It has 330,000 inhabitants. It has an international airport. It's got everything except for a decent football club, which is just like basically the reason why I decided to do this. I mean, I was here for 2-3 years. I do, you know, I'm blessed. I do work with football. I have a company that is in charge of taking care of several European clubs and leagues when it comes to be represented in Japan. Mm-hmm. We do the content for a lot of them. And living up here helped me a lot, I think, to focus and to help to propel my company. And I thought it was sort of, you know, time to make it a bit more real, to give back. That is a little bit of, I think, I don't want to call it midlife crisis, but, you know, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I am in midlife. And, you know, this is also an age when you want to do something new, you want to go out, you want to meet people, you're fighting the idea, oh my God, I'm getting old, so let's do something cool. And yeah, it's exactly what I said before. I mean, this is a wonderful place where you have great nature, wonderful clean air, clean water, a lot of snow in the winter, a lot of rice fields, you know, wild animals. You got really, and at the same time, you have a relatively big city next to you. So, you know, it's extremely convenient. Here, of course, it's a bit, you know, you do drive around. There's no traffic. There's always a parking spot for free for you waiting. Food's amazing. I mean, everything is amazing except for football. And, you know, just to tell you this, football in Asahikawa really sucks. It's terrible. So, I mean, the idea, you know, is to do something about this. And, you know, the way I'm just going to try to exercise my midlife crisis is by doing something good for football here. Of course, not all by myself, but that's the plan.
All right, then. So you moved up there in 2019 and you took notice of the landscape and the footballing landscape. So when did the idea of actually going ahead and starting your own football club, you know, take hold and become a realistic proposition? I mean, lots of our listeners will have played Football Manager growing up, and they a lot of them probably still do. Obviously, fantasy football is huge these days across the world. But, you know, while a lot of people would think it would be cool to start their own football club, most people don't have the means or the drive or the motivation to actually go ahead and do it. So, yeah, when did the idea first take hold and when did it become a realistic proposition?
Oh, I think the embryo of the idea has been in my head, well, since forever. Like, I mean, everybody who loves football would love to own a football club to a certain extent. I mean, you know, we always criticize, you know, we say, oh, look at this guys, this rich, you know, Russian oligarchs and guys in the Middle East that are buying football clubs. And, you know, if we had money, real money, we all buy a football club, won't we? I mean, that's just the most, you know, we love the game and, you know, having a football club, it's just like, I think a very exciting way to be part of it. So, I mean, the idea / you know, goal / dream has always been there. Mm-hmm. I think it became more realistic last year, you know, when my company became, you know, very stable and, you know, there's this, but still, you know, I work mostly in front of a monitor and I said, you know, I really miss the smell of the grass and, well, actually it's all artificial pitches up here, but you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I just say, you know, it's good to go out, you know, like, and, you know, and, you know, be near, you know, the sound of the football when it gets kicked, you know, like, and that's the sort of thing I was missing. It. So I started to talk a little bit with friends here and I realized that there are a couple of clubs here. And actually last year there were three clubs in Azahika. I mean, in the central northern block, which is just like one of the four blocks, one of the four groups in the sixth division in Hokkaido, mm-hmm. Three clubs from here. And we thought, okay, you know, like maybe I can go and talk with one of them, convince them, that, you know, we can do a little better. Cause I did a little bit of research first. And I realized that, you know, when the club from Asahikawa get promoted from the sixth division to the fifth division is the Hokkaido League, which is a bit, you know, for us on this big island, it's like a sort of a national league, you know. So that's a bit of like the real deal here. It's the Hokkaido League, which is the fifth division, which is one notch below the JFL, which is one notch below J3, J2, J1. So
right, yep.
Okay, so when Asahika clubs make it to the fifth division, to the Hokkaido League, okay, in 2016, our local club made 1 point in 14 games. Goal difference minus 56.
Right.
2017, a different club made it up and had an amazing season, meaning it made 7 points in 14 games. Goal difference only minus 24. Of course, in both cases, they were dead last in the table and relegated. 2018, again, the previous club made it up. And this time they won a game. So they got 3 points in 14 games. Goal difference minus 54. It's just like their away games results. Just, okay, 0-6, 0-11, 0-13, 1-4, 1-3, 0-2, 1-3. So they lost all seven games away on the road. Well, of course, they only won one game in the whole season. And in 2021, again, one of our clubs made it. Because of COVID, they played only five games. They was probably lucky because they lost all five of them. Three goals scored, 23 conceded, and relegated, you know.
Jeez,
so,
yeah.
I mean, just like the last four seasons where we had one team in the fifth division. We always finished dead last, you know, like this. 14 games, 5 games. I'm not very good at math, but that's 28 and 42, 47 games in total. I think only 3 victories. So you can imagine. You know, at this point, you know, I think it's also important to just sort of frame a little bit, you know, what football is here, because you're talking, of course, of our people who don't get paid. Actually, in not at Kamui FC, but in all other clubs that people do pay to play. They pay for their registration, for the insurance, they pay for the kits, and they pay for travel. So can you imagine, I mean, you're in the fifth division, you go to play 7 away games and pay for all these things and you lose 13-0, 11-0, 6-0. I mean, it's quite dreadful, isn't it? So to go back to where I was before, I went to speak to one of these clubs. The name of the club is Verde Lasso, Asahikawa. Very nice guys. And I had invited them to my house. I went to a pub with them and we talked about football. And I said, you know, like, I think we can do better. Maybe we can bring, you know, like some foreign players here. I can support you through my company. I do work actually with some of the biggest clubs in Europe. We know we work with Borussia Dortmund, Celtic, Man City, Juventus. You know, I can just, you know, start to some partnerships, some intelligence, you know, like some academy camps, those sort of things. They were quite interested. And we had a line chat. Line is, you know, the Japanese WhatsApp. And then at a certain point, they said, we thought about it. We're not really interested anymore. Sorry. And then all the people who were there, we quit the chat. And I was left alone in this line chat. And I said, can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
I was like, crap. You know, like, yeah, I mean, they dumped me. So I said, okay, I'm an Italian immigrant. You know, I'm used to, you know, success as much as I'm used to failure. And I say, all right, learning curve, you know, let's move on. And I said, let's begin with studying this league. So I said 2022 will be the, you know, the year where I go to watch games. You know, I look how the pitches, you know, how the players are, you know, what's, you know, learn everything around, talk with the commissioners, talk with the local federation, talk with the coaches, you know, get an idea how it's going and start planning, okay? Because at that point, I thought, okay, probably here the only option I have is to start a club from scratch. Mm. But then a friend of a friend who has an academy here said, listen, if you start a club from scratch, you need to start from 8 division. J1, J2, J3, JFL, Hokkaido League, the Central North Block League, and then there's Asahikawa League 1 and Asahikawa League 2. So we're talking about Asahikawa, you know, if you kept track, Asahikawa League 2 is J8, the 8th division, okay? Which is, of course, the, you know, our version of, I think, of Sunday League. The level is dreadful. Yeah, I mean, you know, we probably, Ben, if you and I play in that league, we'd still be in the best 11 at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they told me, since you got to start from there, you know, don't waste time. Let's put a team together. Let's just get promoted. You know, they have an academy, so they have coaches there. They know some players from universities. Yeah, let's. You know, open, sign up, you know, and, you know, me and my company and another two local companies put together 2.5 million yen, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, so we had all the money. We said, okay, let's not ask the players to pay. Let's buy the kits and let's start, you know, like let's get the ball rolling. So, all right, let's go. You know, come UFC, that's the name. The colors, which is the, you know, that academy is black and white. So let's say, let's pick the colors, let's add some another color for, you know, for an accent and pick orange. Kamui, by the way, it's a local word. It's just like the Hokkaido version of kami. Kami is the Japanese word for, you know, natural deities, you know, like the those natural gods, you know, like it'd be the wind, the mountain, the bear, you know, like. And so, I mean, we're ready to go. Register the players, and then just like more or less a month before, you know, like this is starting, two things happen. One quite good is one of the three local clubs here were disbanding because they didn't have enough player. So they say, how about, you know, we get together, you know, like, and, you know, we just can start from 6th division. And I said, oh, that's great. But of course, we find ourselves then with about 50 players signed up, and some of them have signed up for 8th division and didn't want to play 6th division. So it was a bit messy, okay? And that was just more or less, you know, like there was, you know, there was a bit of confusion there. There wasn't like a real manager that was appointed. That's because, you know, we thought 8th division is extremely casual, so no need to put so much, you know, planning in it, just like, you know, and I said, you know, rather than starting it from the outside, I can start starting from the outside. So anyway, we got a huge roster with about 40, 50 players. And then, you know, the other thing is in order to participate to the league, you need to register your kit, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have a football club is because I really love football kits. And I thought, oh, I can design my own kit. Yeah. So, you know, together with a local designer, we made this really cool home and away kits, and you know, we're all, you know, set up. And then the you know, we put in the order to this company in Shanghai, and the day they were supposed to start working on it, they got the early spring lockdown in Shanghai. So we got like an email and said, sorry, we're not going to make your kits because we're not going to go to work now and for the foreseeable future. Mm. And that's a big problem, because if you don't register your uniform on time, you can't play. So again, through a friend of a friend of a friend, we found this, you know, really crappy uniform that we ended up using this year. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, and they're really, really ugly. But, you know, they're so ugly that, you know, they're sort of cute. We became sort of attached to them. But, you know, we managed to, you know, sign up and register and do everything on time, which was half a miracle. But yeah, you know, that's exactly how it started. And, you know, and then we get a couple of games and we played the others, you know, the historical team in Asahikawa, which is called Kyokushukai. Kyokushukai means basically Asahikawa Football Club. Kyoku is just like the first kanji, the first character for Asahikawa. Shu is, you know, to kick, so football. And Kai, it's a club, it's an organization. So this club was founded in 68. It's very old then. It's exactly as old as I am. So, I mean, you do your math. And the first game against them, we did lose 3-1, but we were decent. I say, you know, like, ooh, there's some good player. And then the second game, again, we played against them and we only lost at penalties. So I thought, ooh, you know, we do have a chance here, you know, like. And then, unfortunately, I had a long business trip to Europe planned. And so I just left the club in the hands of my friends here for basically the first month. So I missed the first two games of the league, and we won one and lost one. And then I came back here in mid-May, and it has become, yeah, my life. Of course, I still do have, you know, a job, a family. You know, I got four dogs here, and, you know, I have a life. But a big part of it has been, you know, sucked up by the club, of course, you know, very, very happily. Because, you know, little by little, through the, you know, some of the adventures we've been through together this year, we have become a group of friends, of course, a community. That was actually, you know, that's the initial idea, I suppose, by everybody who starts a sports club. So, yeah, I mean, that's how we started. And you mentioned about how, you know, how it ended. There's been a lot of things that happened in between. Hopefully a lot of more things are going to happen in the future. So anyway, yeah, that was the beginning, you know, that, you know, it went very fast, very quickly, very unexpectedly, but yeah, here we are.
Yeah, one season's gone. Yeah, it sounds like the ball got rolling, a couple of hiccups along the way, but yeah, that's what I was going to come to, actually. But yeah, so you were on a mission and you were able to get it off the ground and get this season played. So in terms of recruiting players, like you said, you basically inherited a group of players from this club that
two groups, yes, basically.
Yeah, that were possibly going under. So was there any like scouting involved? Did you bring any players from like other areas in Hokkaido in to play for you, like hired guns or anything, or were they basically all locals?
Well, first of all, I have to say, quite a few of our players are not based in Asahikawa, in our valley, in our region. We got one guy driving over from Sapporo every time. We got two from Iwamizawa. We got one goalkeeper from Rumoi, which is all, you know, villages, towns in the area. So there are people who drive like 1-2 hours just to come and play with us. So it was a bit of a mixed batch. But, you know, the only thing that I was told before the season, I was told there's this guy who just graduated from university. His name is Kaito. It's like a Cristiano Ronaldo, like, you know, winger. And I say, there you go. That's going to be Asahikawa Ronaldo, you know, and you got to see me. Okay. So I said, okay, you know, let's set up a scrimmage and let's bring you over. And we did. And this guy came over and sure enough, he was amazing. And I say, Kaito, you got to come play with us. Come on, mate. And he said, oh, I'd love to. You guys are very nice. But I just signed with Verde Lasso 3 days ago. Nice. No! You know, my only scouting. this top, actually, this guy is really good. I mean, no surprise, he ended up becoming the top scorer of the league. And so I just, he said, oh, but actually, I like you. I don't know what to do. And so, of course, the first time I went to speak with the local league, with the Asahikawa Saka Kyokai, so the football, you know, the town's football league, and I say, listen, this guy is registered, but now he say he wants to play with us. Is he bad if he comes to us? And they say, oh, of course he's bad. What are you thinking about? No way he can come to you. You just started a club now. You're already poaching players. Like, ooh, okay, sorry. And so I just backed up and I said, okay, you know, whatever, you know. But I don't know if I should reveal this as well, because it's not a done deal 100%, but it's very likely he's going to play with us next season. Because, he, of course, he, you know, at these expenses, he realized which one is the best club in this region now. And so, I mean, that was, yeah, my attempt of scouting and poaching, my failed attempt. But I have to say that, you know, jumping to the next season, yeah, of course, I mean, besides him, we talk with other players who are very interested in joining us. I think we're going to have a much better team next year. We also are going to have at least one foreign player. And this is, I mean, finger crossed for us guys, but tomorrow I'm going to meet with the local university and speak with four actually very good players. So I think next year we're going to be even better than this year. So, yeah, I mean, there wasn't much time in the beginning to, you know, organize. I had no idea of the level, you know, like, and I had no idea about anything. Mm. But now I think I kind of, you know, I sort of figure out, you know, like which sort of players we need, in which position do we need player. So I think, yeah, there is this, you know, this sort of, you know, this like transfer, you know, the transfer season might be finished for you guys if you support Liverpool or Chelsea or Bayern Munich, but not for us yet, actually. Yeah, no, tomorrow I have a dinner at my home, to which I invited all these potential players to try to lure them in. We're gonna watch the Glasgow derby, and you know, I'm trying just to show him, you know, like how passionate I am, you know, about football, and yeah, and try to convince him to join. You know, that's nice. That gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah.
Terrific. First step, Kamui FC. Second step is Parkhead, I suppose, is it? Yeah, fair enough. That's a good thing to sell them on. So just before we move on to some of the hoops that you had to jump through, because I know there was a lot of them. I mean, what about the literal day-to-day running of things off the pitch? Like, who decided what days the players would train? Who took the training? Who, you know, who bought the bottles of water, who did all the bits and pieces? I know you can't have done everything, so you would have had to delegate a lot of things. So the literal day-to-day running, it must have been, you know, quite an undertaking, to put it lightly.
Okay, it was me and my friend Yokoyama-san. Yokoyama-san is the owner of Sports Sock, small factory here. It's called Yamatune, Yama, Y-A-M-A, like it means mountain in Japanese, and tune, like a tune in English, T-U-N-E. Mm-hmm. A little push for him. His socks are really amazing. I'm wearing them now. That's the only socks I wear. Anyway, me and Yokoyama-san basically did everything. You know, he's just like a big sport guy. His son plays for the Galta Sendai Youth, you know, like he's a lovely Hokkaido chap, very strong, very loyal, and you know, whatever I couldn't do, he did. I couldn't have done it without him. So basically, you know, he sort of did all the management of, you know, signing up players, you know, registering players, and the things you said, you know, bringing over the water and things. I helped anytime I could, you know. But mostly, I have to admit, I mean, like, as a foot soldier, he did most of the job. Coach-wise, we start with a coach from this club that wanted to join us, but we fired him after two games.
Okay.
And then we had a next Consadole Sapporo player, Mr. Omori, who came up 2-3 times and helped us, you know, coached. And then we had one of our veteran players who coached the rest of the time. So we got three coaches for through the season, basically. And yeah, one, you know, also one has been fired already. So our historical coach, the guy who coaches in the first league games, yeah, he's already gone over some dispute.
And
yeah, that's, you know, that's the very interesting part. Actually, you know, of course, when you begin to understand the human relationship between the players, the different age groups, that's what I found really fascinating, you know. And it's just, it's, you know, of course, it's, you know, a football club is like any group, like any, you know, any company, any class at school. It's, you know, you got a lot of different people, you know, and just like to make them go along, you know, like, and to just maximize their potential. I think that's, you know, at this level especially, is the, you know, the job of the people who take in the pledge of just like basically, you know, creating and fostering a football club. It's been really great, you know, like with all the ups and downs, you know, like I got two players having, you know, almost hitting each other after a game. I have to, you know, jump in the middle, you know, Ted Lasso style, and, you know, like basically separate them, you know. Mm. And I have to say, same team, guys, same team. you know, it was good, you know, because those two guys cared a lot about what was going on, about the team, and, you know, like, and I love the passion and thing, and, you know, like they ended up, you know, like playing together for the rest of the season. I don't know if they will next year, next season, is, that's not completely up to me. I hope they will. But, you know, it's keeping the team together, and it's been difficult. The hardest thing, you know, that's the main point I want to do, is to, you know, to bring the players to you mentioned practice. I don't think we really have had a proper practice. Uh-huh. We got players getting together. Some of them might have been practicing, you know, those in Sapporo practice with some friends there and things. But we never had, you know, proper practices. We will next year. That's one of the big progress we're going to have in next season. But, you know, mostly, you know, we improvise. Even the other clubs like Verde Lasso and Kyokushukai, I went to check their practices. They got 8 players there. That's why, you know, I go back to what I said before. Considering the results and these things, we should have put, you know, my goal is just like I said, listen, let's put the clubs together. Let's make one good club in Asahikawa. But they, of course, I wouldn't listen to the, you know, to the new kid on the block, especially, you know, this guy from Italy. So that's going to happen anyway, because I know that in long term, if you do a good job with Kamui FC, the players who are serious are all going to come automatically to us. And, you know, they're going to deplete the other clubs from their talent. It's already happening, you know. But, you know, okay, I suppose that's just the way it goes. So, yeah, a lot of things happen in these 8 games. I think the other great adventure was to play an away game, because, you know, we always think, you know, it's a simple thing. We do go to away games as fans, right? Mm. We get on a car or on a bus or on a train. We go there the day of the game, or maybe we stay one day, I don't know, but it's relatively straightforward. But when you have to bring a whole team over there, oh boy, you know, our game in Otaru, that was just like, it was quite an adventure. You know, we had my friend who owns the academy to lend us the bus with some magnet on it with our logo. And then, you know, I thought the whole team was going to show up and we're going to drive down there. But then, you know, there was personal things happened. One guy had to work a little longer, and in the end, half of the team went down with the bus. Mm-hmm. Some guys joined us late at night, and some others came in the morning. And the next morning, Notaro, which is like basically we had to bring over. We didn't have a goalkeeper for that game. So we just like, well, this is the level, you know, this is 6th division. So that's the thing that happened in the first season. And so we had a friend of a friend of a friend who introduces a guy who's in the military and who would come and play as a goalkeeper for that game. And we register him right on time. And he came down the night before the game. And, you know, when we did the warm-up, clearly, you know, his level wasn't amazing, so to speak. But we were really grateful that he came down and we wore the uniform. And we said, just like, you know, well, it is what it is. And, you know, I told the player, please make sure that they don't shoot towards our goal and we're going to be okay. Right. And then, you know, the game started, you know, we was just like, you know, more or less having more possession. It was good. And then the other team had a chance and there was this shot and I held my breath and this, you know, this temporary goalkeeper, which, by the way, we already had 3 goalkeepers sign up, so our 4th goalkeeper, you know, he made a nice dive, totally unnecessary, just a bit spectacular, and he grabbed the ball, and I said, oh, he's got it, good. It's good, you know, finally the ball came, you know, his way, and he saved it. And then, you know, he wasn't getting up. I say, what's going on here? You know, like, get up, mate, you know, like, and he sat down and stopped the game and bring in a stretcher.
Oh no.
He ripped his Achilles tendon.
Oh, you're joking. Oh my goodness.
So our fourth goalkeeper, we registered like 3 days before the game, who drove down from Rumoi to play with us in Otaru. That's a 200 kilometers drive, so 150 at least. And who wasn't, you know, like exactly the, he wasn't the Hokkaido's Buffon, but he did make a save, and in doing so, he ripped his Achilles tendon. Oh, sorry, no. I shouldn't be right. I'm laughing because he was laughing too. I mean, it was like, you know, kind of worried because also, you know, how is this guy going to drive back home? You know, like, luckily it was the left foot, so, you know, somehow he managed to drive home. But, you know, that's something that happened, you know, in the game. So basically, we had one young guy who was the first time who came with us. He was on the bench. And we asked him, can you play goalie? I mean, have you ever played goalie? He said, no. I said, all right, you will now.
Yeah.
You know, and he did. He actually made a couple of very good saves, and we won 2-0 that game. And so that's, you know, the sort of things. I mean, this, for me, it's the whole reason to do it, you know. Like, I mean, I think a lot of us had this experience as player, and it's just as wonderful, I think. But, you know, of course, at my age, you know, like, you know, I won't be able to play at this level, of course, sadly. I mean, in my prime, of course, I would have dominated in this league, maybe. But, you know, and now, so all I can do is just, of course, you know, like, be part of the club as a, you know, as you say, there's a, as a president who also, you know, like, I'm in charge, of course, for example, of the banner. Every time we have a game, we have this banner that says Forza Kamui FC, you know, like, and I'm in charge of that, among other, you know, a lot of small jobs. So it's, yeah, that's the level it's been. But yeah, I mean, it's been great, you know, like, I mean, I loved every moment. This has become so much a part of my life now. And, you know, I'm so looking for, I mean, the main problem here, as I say, is convinced, you know, there's not many players, because the players don't get paid. So, I mean, you know, it's hard when they're kids, when you're young, when you're in a school or university, or, you know, like, they tell you, you got to play, you got to do sport, you know, you love it, you know, of course, your friends are there, you do it. Then some become professional, they get paid to do that. But this is really the in-between, you know, it's the twilight zone. Mm. It's just where, you know, like, only the passion of these guys in their 20s and 30s can, you know, can drive this. And there's not much you can do for them. Besides, you know, like, creating an environment where they can, you know, make friends, play, you know, have fun. So it's, you know, it's a lot. It's a work of love, you know, and not only mine, of course. I mean, I'm part of it, but every, you know, single players. And, you know, at the end of the season, when it was, you know, I spoke with some players personally, and they were so grateful for, you know, for having this team. It was really moving for me, you know. I coached high school in Japan, and that's, you know, it's moving by default, because, you know, it's just this young, wonderful, you know, kids just giving their utmost best, you know, like, and they stay together for 3 years. There's a lot of stories there too. But here it's way more random and likely. And, you know, this boys come together, and, you know, little by little, they don't know each other. They come from different ex-clubs. All of them, you know, like, were basically players who were discarded from the other two clubs. And, it's really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, internationally, Japan is famous for so many things. I guess for us expats who live here, it's infamous for the amount of hoops you have to jump through and the amount of red tape you have to slice through when you want to get something done or you want to do something. So, you know, without, detailing it in, you know, minute detail, but I'm sure there's a number of things that blocked your path along the way. And I imagine your fax machine must have gotten a real hammering in setting this all up, because if international listeners aren't familiar, yeah, fax is often still the primary form of communication, isn't it?
It is. I don't have a fax. I refuse to use that. I just, there's a lot of red tape. I'll just give you one example. Here in Higashikawa, okay, it's the village next to Asakawa where I live, which will become the hometown of Kamui FC from next season. We do have a public Japanese language school, the only one in Japan. It used to be, at least, I think still is. Anyway, you know, we got some, you know, foreign students here, of course, 200 of them. And one of them happened to be, you know, like a footballer, not a professional footballer, but a lovely guy from Thailand who plays football quite well. And so we said, fantastic, you know, we have our guy Kokujin player, our foreign player. So we signed him up in April, I think. And we haven't got him approved yet. Oh, wow. I mean, he's a student here. So he has a visa, he's approved, he has a resident card, he has an address. He's a real person, you know. I mean, he breathes, you know, like the air, you know, like I can guarantee you he exists, but not for the Japanese Football Association. I mean, so that's, you know, lesson learned again. Really sorry for him. Of course, we'll, you know, probably be in the team next season again. But, you know, we know that if we want to sign up foreign players, we'd need to do it literally, you know, like 4 months in advance. We're probably going to get his, you know, his paperwork done next week when the season is over. But, the boy came to some games, came to, you know, 1 week, did our little practice scrimmages. But, you know, that's, you know, that's one example. And there's a limit of 3 foreign players, which, you know, I think that, you know, considering how many immigrants there are in Hokkaido, you know, it's a bit limiting. And also considering there's not enough players for this level, and the level of the players is not amazing. So, you know, for these things, you know, it could definitely be better. On the other hand, I have to say one thing, you know, I am, what in Italy is known as a referee eater, you know, it means just like I'm very critical of referees. But mm-hmm. I have to say that the referees that we had were, you know, for this level, incredibly good. I would say out of the whole season, there was one event which I thought, the referee is definitely wrong here. My opinion, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, compare, for example, to when I watch J League every weekend, I had 3 or 4 times. It's just like, what are you thinking? You know, you got VAR and still you do this. I think that, you know, considering also the referee here, you know, some of them are very young, some of them are not so young, and you know, they do get paid a little, but very little, and you know, they do it for the love of the game. I was really amazed at how good the referee were in Onan, and. Yeah, of course, I've become very popular, famous, more like infamous with all the linesmen, because, you know, I offer them support throughout every game, of course, you know, I've been watching, like, you know, it's all in good spirit. I mean, after the game, of course, I always go and thank each one of them and, you know, tell them what a great job they've done. And, it's, you know, it is a bit of a community, you know, by itself. So, I mean, I was really surprised. I mean, the level of the referees was much higher than I expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And also there are some players are actually quite good, you know, and it's overall is the, you know, it has been endemic in Japan with football. It's the intensity of the whole thing, you know, it's just... we're used to, I'm from Europe, of course, you from Australia is another big sport country. You know, when you do, a game, you know, no matter what's the level, you do it to win, you do it, you know, like, yes, you know, like to, you know, overcome the opponent, you know, and here, is, you know, it's still a little too mellow, I think, you know, and I was at the last game together with me was my new friend, Alexander, who is like a Danish coach who just moved here, who very likely will play with us next season. He's just from transfer over from FC Copenhagen. He's a great guy, and you know, like, and he liked a lot, you know, the atmosphere, the mood, the level of the players. But just, you know, he arrived like 3 days before the first time he saw any football in Japan, and he said, yeah, it's a bit, you know, mellow. I mean, just like, you know, say, oh, you won the game, you don't chant after the game, you don't just like, you know, it's just, you know, you're very quiet for a team that did so well in this game and in the league overall in the first season, you know. And you know, that's that too, you know, like the relatives and the friends and the few fans on the stands as well are, you know, if there's a goal they will clap hands, but you know, mostly there's only one guy screaming, that would be me, of course, you know. So I mean, it's just overall, there's a very I won't hesitate to define it as very shallow football culture. As a sport, they played very well. But as a culture, I don't think they understand it. I think that still, and this I think is true almost to every level, even to J1 and to the national team. Sport here is something you do within your company, within your school, with your friends, something you do with your body to compete. But, it's not much about the result and winning, and that's the sort of, I think it's the true limit of football in Japan. So part of it is also its beauty, because it's very peaceful. You're never gonna get smacked on the head on a away game because you're wearing the wrong jersey or here in Japan. But on the other hand, that's one thing you can very easy test. You can do if you get some kids playing a scrimmage, okay, or even if you play a scrimmage with your friends here. You play for 10, 15 minutes, and then you ask your Japanese friends, what's the score? They're like, what? The score? You mean, who's winning? I say, I don't know. They're not counting goals, And this is a discussion I had with Tsune Miyamoto, the Japan national team and Gamba legend. When he was just coaching Gamba youth, he said, exactly, I told him this thing and said, yeah, even my player don't do it. It drives me crazy. He played in Europe. Of course, he had an Italian, he was coached by Trapattoni, and, of course, he played a very high level in Europe and with the national team. And he was just really surprised. I said, even at Gamba, I was like, oh, it's clearly in one of the two elite clubs in Osaka. The players said, let's play a scrimmage, who's winning? I don't know. That needs to change, I think, if Japan has to be more competitive. And yeah, this level too. I think that one thing where I can really help my club, I will do my best to help my club, is to give them more of this intensity and just tell them, we're not just playing, to have fun and, we're playing to win. Next season, we need to get promoted. We need to go to J5. We need to, we need to go to the Hokkaido League. We played, 14 games. We played 7 away games. We played, bigger, well, not really stadiums, but bigger small stadiums. We get bigger sponsors. We get, we're gonna get our, home and away jersey, a better level and everything. And this, it happens if we win, and also, I understand that let's play for fun. I think winning is way more fun than losing, if you know what I mean. So that's a bit what I think is missing, among, the players at this level. But it's a bit of an endemic thing in Japan, I think. It's a bit of an overall thing in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, getting set up, we've talked about, maybe a couple of the hoops that you had to jump through. Did you feel any, I don't know whether I should even broach this subject. Did you feel any kind of backlash against you as a foreigner trying to start up a new club or take over, the operations of an existing one? Was there any kind of, I don't know actually if I.
That's a very, it's very straightforward question. I like it. And, of course, I know exactly what you mean. The answer is, yes,
you were probably already part of the local community though by the time you'd actually gotten into the process of starting the operation of the club though. So a lot of those people around probably already knew who you were and how invested you were in football.
It's a complicated issue. And basically we're talking, I absolutely don't want to use the word racism because that's not what it is. But the fact that, diversity in Japan means you are diverse, means you're different. And that's, it's clear any time of the day. I would say the first thing, a little premise. I think that overall in my 3 years experience here, the people in Hokkaido are a bit more, open to that. A lot of people here are immigrants, first, second, third, fifth. A lot of people here, actually, their family come from Osaka or Hiroshima 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a few foreigners living here. My village, 9,000 souls, 300 are foreigners, mostly because of the at the school. So like basically 3% foreigners, I think, possibly somebody told me the highest average in Japan. So overall, you know, this, especially here in my village, there's quite a lot of openness. Nobody looks at you weird because you're foreigner or just like comes to you and speaks in weird English. With that said, I think that the point here is that, and this is true again for at this level, for food in general, for Japan in general, you know, I'm seen as somebody who comes here to disrupt the situation. You know, like for example, you know, the two, three local clubs here, you know, they play the Little League among friends very quietly, you know, who, you know, like the one season where the last is winning, the next is Kyokushukai, they get promoted, they lose all the games, they get relegated. Here we go again.
Yeah.
I'm just came in and I say, guys, this is utter you need to be better than that, okay? So, you know, like, we, you know, for a town of 330,000 people, if this is the best we have, you know, I mean, no, we got to do better. I don't think everybody's happy with that. But again, you know, as that's my role to disrupt this because, you know, when it comes to football, clearly I have, you know, a heritage and an experience, even like from a working point of view that, you know, very few people have here. And so I think is a bit my, you know, what I'm going to do here. Will I succeed? I mean, hopefully, I hope so. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people are already on my side. I have to say, you know, our hometown, Higashikawa Cho, that really been amazing. You know, I think, you know, that when they see that I was serious about it, you know, they're going to provide us the ground for next season. They're going to give scholarship if we can bring in foreign players so they can study Japanese. They became a sponsor. They got a wonderful Higashikawa Cho logo on the back of our jersey for 2023. And they've been supportive all the way. And, you know, we're even talking, you know, it has to start a bit half as a joke. We're talking about building a stadium here, like an indoor stadium in the future.
Wow.
And we're talking about having an academy from 2024. We want to have an OB team. So like, you know, OB meaning like all boys, right? Every, you know, like over yep. 40 team.
Yep.
We want to have a women team. You know, we don't have, there's no women team to speak of in this region. We definitely want to do that. So there's a lot of things that, you know, like we're talking about and hopefully step by step we'll do. So, of course, you know, there's always an ancien regime, right? Like an old guard who wants to protect, you know, to you know, conserve, preserve what's there. And
especially in Japan.
Especially in Japan, in football as well. But yeah, we're here to destroy that. And, you know, we started already this year and we definitely will. Not every player, not everybody involved with football abides to that, you know, to that old regime. And so I really think, you know, things are going to, you know, change for the better here. You know, there are a lot of children playing here, not many adults. So that's what needs to be, you know, the question should be why, you know, like, when can we do about this? And how can we build a better, you know, football culture? And that's not only Kamui FC, that's, you know, it's, I think, through the schools here, through events. This year, there's a World Cup, for example, and just a great chance to, you know, gather together and, you know, enjoy football with friends, family, and little by little build this community. You know, I'm really interested in building the academy. I was a youth coach when I lived in the United States. And I love the idea of the academy because you bring in literally dozens of players. Each one of them comes with a family. And that creates a lot of opportunities, of course, you know. And I love all the dynamics, you know, like people becoming friends, you know, people getting to know each other, even people, you know, disagreeing, you know, having fights, having arguments, you know. Yeah, that sort of intensity, you know, it's something I think, you know, it's part of a football club. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to how all this is gonna develop. Of course, I do need a lot of help. And, you know, it goes without saying that anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you want to come and play with us, if you're good enough, of course, if you want to do anything to help us, you know, like, I love, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe in a couple of years, we should try to do some serious crowdfunding in Europe, in Australia, everywhere, you know, but online, okay, a real crowdfunding. So, you know, that sort of things, you know, making the club a bit like everybody's Japanese clubs, you know, we'd love to do that. We're also thinking of a way next year to broadcast games live. We've been told that there is like some technology that will allow us to do that. You know, there's an unmanned camera that follows the ball and broadcasts alive. That costs, of course, $3,000, and we, you know, we'll have to find the money from that somehow. But, you know, we just really want to expand and we want to embrace as many, you know, as many fans, players, coaches, you know, supporters as possible. So this is absolutely by definition an open club. So if you think in any way it's interesting, you know, like if you want to do something for us, with us, yeah, and of course, yeah, get in touch.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're able to get back a hold of those kit makers in Shanghai, once you've got the next year's kit sorted out, we can put them online and get some kits bought from supporters all around the world, and they can fly the flag of Kamui FC in here, there, and everywhere, and spread the word. And that would be terrific. I do worry about the live broadcast, though, Cesare. Do you have to clear that with DAZN first, or are you able to do that off your own bat?
I don't know. You know.
Is there any red tape around that? Would somebody from the Hokkaido FA kick up a stink if you wanted to broadcast one of your own games live and while none of the other games were on the internet? I imagine that would put somebody's nose out of joint.
That's a very good question, and we've been in Japan long enough to know that this is the sort of question you don't want to ask. I mean, worst case, you
the Scott McIntyre approach. Just go ahead and do it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that if we ask for permission, that they would say, we need to ask. So the Asahikawa football organization will ask to the Hokkaido football organization, which will ask, we will send a fax to the one, somebody in Tokyo. And after 5 months, we'll probably get, you know, like a 8 pages, you know, like document to sign, and we'll turn it in. And then we'll say, no, sorry. Cannot do. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, until it's clear that you're doing it for the love of the game and you're not making money out of it, and surely we're not making any money out of it for now. I probably never will. That's not the goal in any case. So I think we should probably be clear. I think, you know, if things go as I think, there will be, you know, a point where, you know, the Kamui FC will be definitely the football club here. And, you know, I think we'll have to see how the other clubs will react to that, how, you know, the federation here will react to that. Will they embrace what we're doing, or we will try to, you know, this Japanese proverb that, you know, the nail that sticks out needs to be hammered down.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, I've been here almost 30 years, so I'm ready for that to come at a certain point. You know, I'm also ready to fight back. And not only me, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, most of our players, our coaching staff, our people who work at Kamui FC really want to go on with this club our way. To be honest, with all the due respect, I don't think that the people who just did football in Asahikawa until now did a great job, and, you know, I think it can be done better. That's what, you know, we're here to do that. So I think that, you know, the fact that the best player in the league is, you know, is very interested in joining us and is coming to have dinner with me and the other players tomorrow night, it's just, you know, the best signal I could have got that, you know, we're doing the right thing. So yeah, I mean, like, onward to the next season. And unfortunately, we have to wait half a year before, you know, like, before the next, you know, season starts. But, you know, that gives us time to work on other things, you know, like, and to be super ready for when it's, I mean, can't wait, of course.
Well, that's
can't
it.
Wait,
I mean,
for next season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you said before we started recording that, I mean, as you posted in the line group, you posted the final league table. It was only eight games played, obviously, for each team in the five-team league. And you mentioned that you played the two cup games before the league campaign actually started. So I guess it's really hard to build any sort of momentum and in the community when the team is only playing, you know, 10 games in an entire year.
It reminded me, when you are in junior high school or high school and you go on a summer vacation and, you know, like, you start to make some friends there, you know, maybe there's a girl you like and everything is just magic and then it's over. It's time to leave, you know. It was exactly like that. You know, in the last 3 games, we really start to become friends, to click. We played well, you know, we just talked a lot and we exchanged messages, we exchanged videos. We became like a little, you know, like a tight community and now it's already over, you know. So that's a big problem, you know. And what I will definitely try to do, and most likely will fail at it, is just to try to just push the you know, the federation here to have more games. I mean, if we have five teams, let's play three times, you know, like, or four times, like in Scotland, you know, like, or let's have more playoffs. Let's have, you know, let's have more games, because, you know, basically this there's like an Ishikawa Cup, which is, I guess, two or three games maximum. There's a Hokkaido Cup. And then there's like a Shakaijin, which means like, how would it just say? Shakaijin. Shakaijin is like civilians. Civilians. Yeah. Cup is just like a cup, a national cup for, you know, clubs like us. But those, you know, usually boil down to one or two games. So I think that overall, as an average, a club who will play, you know, 12 competitive games in 1 year, which is, you know, really not enough. I mean, so
next year you'll be able to enter the Emperor's Cup from the opening round, I presume, will you?
I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure if just winning either, you know, the Ishikawa Cup, or if by winning, you know, by doing well in the Hokkaido Cup, we'll get into it. It's not in the instructions I receive, but I know that the Hokkaido League, the fifth division team, they do play in the Emperor's Cup. I mean, some of them are in the Emperor's Cup. So I think that, you know, there is a route there, but, you know, everything is still. I ask, what's going to happen next year? How many teams we're going to have? How many games? They say, sorry, we don't know yet. You know, like, and
right.
There's, you know, it's I know we're done, because it's a bit complicated, but there's five teams in our league. The top team goes to playoff, okay, and the last of the three Ishikawa team, which is not us, is Verdelasso, will have to play some play out with the, you know, and so we are just basically finished second, so we're not in the playoff, we're not in play out, and so for us the season is over. But you know, when I ask how many clubs we're going to have next year, they said, we don't know. How many games we have? We don't know. Can we have three rounds? A little difficult. That's, you know, the typical Japanese answer. But, you know, I'm just trying to push. See, this is one point, for example, okay? I do have quite a few friends in football. And, you know, I'm talking now with some friends who have a second division club in Ghana. And I'm talking with a friend who is the head coach for the Laos national team. And both, they would like to send players. Why not? You know, play in Japan, learn about Japanese football culture, learn the language, you know. But the first question was, you know, how many games do you play? And when I said, you know, when I said a dozen, they say, okay, that's the preseason. But I mean, in the season, I think, how many? Yeah. Nope, that's actually is the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to think, oh, maybe I can get these guys to practice and play some games with the local universities. I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, it's there's a lot of things that need to improve here.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, I mean, you know, us. I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at the, you know, at the map, you know, you see where Hokkaido is, where, you know, as we are just a bit like the Alaska of Asia, or like the Iceland of Asia, you know, and for 4 months we're under the snow, and we're very further away. We don't have a huge population. With that said, you know, Iceland has the same population of Ishikawa, and they tied Argentina in the World Cup, didn't they? Mm-hmm. So, you know. Must do better, okay? Yeah. Just, you know, yeah. Like the Japanese club have these slogans, you know, like, you know, like fight together and things. I think for now ours should be must do better, which, you know, is what I usually got on my papers when I was in junior high school and high school.
You too, I see.
Yeah. Okay. Always can do better, must do better.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. So as I think our football, yeah, can do better. Yes.
Indeed. All right. Well, yeah, you're changing the football landscape up there. So do you dare to dream? Where do you see Kamui FC in 5 years, in 10 years? What's the ceiling for a team from a village of 9,000 people? How far can you go?
That's a very good question. And, you know, I think that there should be a balance between, you know, there's so many clubs that all of a sudden get a big sponsor, get money, and they say, oh, you know, like, we're going to go to J-League, you know, and they get these guys with a suit, they put the uniforms over the suit, and then they make this picture with a fist, like, yes, you know, let's go, Kimisho, let's go. And I don't want to promise anything like that, because I really know that that's, you know, it's complicated. It's unlike, there's so many things at at play. Just as a little parenthesis, maybe some people at this point will wonder. We finished second by 1 point in this year. And, you know, in the last, after we played, there was a derby between the two Asahikawa team, which ended 3-2. Kyokushukai won 3-2. Had it ended in a tie, we would have been champions. And right. Verde Lasso, in the last 3 minutes, had three big chances to score. So we were like, you know, one chance, one goal in that game from being champions. So how can you plan for that? And then, you know, it's over and you have to wait another year. So, I mean, it's hard to plan at a level. But there's one thing that, you know, my goal is to bring this club as the, you know, Higashikawa and, you know, Higashikawa is a village, but the Asahikawa region. I want to bring into the Hokkaido League and be a regular in that league. So, you know, as a small village, as a small town, I just want to have one team that is, you know, regularly competing in this fifth division. And I want it to be a team that gets respected. I want the clubs from Sapporo, when they come over here, to think, oh, crap, we got to go playing. Oh, no, those guys, that's where they have the Italian. Oh, no, they got the Danish striker. Ugh, I don't want to play there. You know, I want to, like, those guys are tough, you know, like. And, yeah, that would be the first step, I think. If and, you know, through that, I want to develop a good academy. I want to have like a give a chance to girls as well, of course, because that's, you know, I mean, it sounds almost so reductive to say give a chance to girls as is, oh, poor girls, they don't have a chance. Well, as a matter of fact, at the moment, they don't. So that's exactly, you know, what it is. And, you know, my big dream, okay, the dream, it's to build a stadium. You know, an indoor stadium so that we can play, you know, 12 months per year. That will make such a huge difference. Of course, I read books about football in Iceland, and I got documented about football in Norway, you know, and, you know, what made the difference there? It's that. It's just like when you have the structures and, you know, this is a reasonably wealthy area, which is built here in Gashikawa-cho, a cultural center that costed 10 million. We're renovating half of the cities. We got one of the most beautiful elementary school in Japan. I mean, Google it, you know, Higashikawa-cho, Hokkaido, and look at our school looks like an airport. You know, it's beautiful. You know, it's a one huge big room, like Scandinavian style. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of potential here. So if we could, you know, make it to fifth division, create a very good environment, an environment that will invite sponsors, not only because we win, and but because they understand that there's a connection with the community. And if we get, you know, a stadium built here, that I'll be really, really, really happy.
Yeah.
That's more or less this. You know, of course, you know, once you're in the fifth division, the next step is the fourth division, which is a national league. So, you know, I can't imagine how expensive that would be, because it means for us in fourth division with, you know, not too many fans, not too many sponsors, we'll have to fly to every game and stay one night there. So that would be, you know, well, there's a, you know, we have an international airport here, and we have like an airline that flies here, AirDo, which is a subsidiary of ANA, all Nippon Airlines. Yeah, of course, you know, we'll have to talk with them, you know, because that would be our only chance we have to participate to a national tournament if we can fly with them. You know, otherwise it'd be very complicated. I know for Consadole Sapporo, it is very complicated. In fact, JAL, Japan Airlines, is one of their sponsors / partners, and I don't know if they could do it, you know, without them. So, yeah, there's a lot to think with step by step, you know, like, yeah, we'll learn. At my end, I know what I have to do is I need to study more, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, leading the club at a higher level. So I'm planning one of the next years to take one of those, you know, master courses in football business, either online or maybe go to, you know, to Madrid or Barcelona or Liverpool, one of those wonderful, you know, European cities where real football is played and taught in universities, and learn more about that. I'm quite, you know, an expert when it comes to the realm of the fans and you know, and of course editorial, because I work with editorial and football for many years, a little bit of marketing. But running a club, you know, like even at this level, it's a very complex beast to tame. And so, you know, I'm thinking that like my part would be to do more of that. The other thing that I want to do is this year we had a two-day summer camp to which we invited Borussia Dortmund Academy. It's lovely. We got 80 kids, and you know, Hokkaido is beautiful in the summer. It's the air is fresh, the sky is blue. It's just amazing. So I'm thinking also to do something more under that aspect. Maybe next year expand it, doing like a longer camp. Maybe 1 week, have different academies coming over, having the coaches to talk, you know, give some lectures, broadcast it online as well. So little by little, you know, to carve out a corner of Higashikawa and, you know, fill it with football, you know, like, and it's, we are famous as the town of photography. So we have this big photography festival. We have a photography school in town. All if right. there will be a little bit of like town of photography and football, I think I'll be, you know, I'll die happy. And I'll become one of those, you know, old guys in England who get buried under the ground in the stadium, you know, like,
yeah.
And, you know, and they have a picture of the local pub and, you know, people toast to them, you know, wouldn't that be nice?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, I'm sure the listeners are all Kamui FC for life now. So if they want to find out some more information on the club, is there any way to do that? Does a small club from J6 have any social media presence or a website, Cesare, that you can share with us?
We got both. We got a Twitter account with at the moment 108 followers, last time I checked. So that's definitely one way to get on. And then we have a website, which is at kamuifc.jp. And it's almost done. Okay. That, you know, I guess that's actually my bread and butter. That's what I'm supposed to do every day. I say to everybody, don't worry, the website, I'll do it. It's going to be okay. I say that in April. And now the season is over and finally I have some time to work on it. But there are already some information and some data there. So if you want to get in touch, I'm sure, you know, you can find us. Anyway, the name of the club is Kamui, K-A-M-U-Y. No, I. Sorry, I'm better spelling. Okay, maybe you write it somewhere.
Well, yeah, I'm going to put it in the...
K-A-M-U-A-E. Yes, FC.
I'm going to put it in the episode description, of course. But yeah. I think you forgot to give the Twitter handle, Cesare. What's the Twitter handle?
The Twitter handle is Kamui FC, just like that. So it's like five letters. I get it in front of me so I can spell it now. K-A-M-U-I-F-C. That's it. So, and... you can see, you know, like there's some pictures, some results, and we'd love to have, you know, more than half of our fans on Twitter are actually from outside Japan. So, yeah, maybe, you know, like we can become the most international club in Japan, right? Well, that's probably not that hard. You know, like.
Yeah. Well, all you need to do is sign an Indonesian or a Thai player, I think, and then you can. You have signed a Thai player, you just haven't been able to register him, right? So,
Actually, at the moment, we are in talk with, with, you know, two under 19 Laos national team players, and you know they're very interested. The problem is there's a clash of schedules because next year is really full for the under 19 Southeast Asia. But we're also talking with the University of Hanoi in Vietnam, and they really want to send us a player. So we might get a Vietnamese player next year. It's just it's all open. And you know, I'm saying this absolutely not as a joke. You understand by now, I'm a very serious person here. Mm. So if anybody who's listening is good at football and want to come over, live in a wonderful village and, you know, and play football here in Japan, I mean, the doors are open. We can absolutely talk about it. Some experience at it will help. But, you know, like we give you a fair tryout. OK, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right. So it's been fantastic to get so much insight on what it was like to, as we say, basically form a club from scratch. It obviously wasn't the smoothest of processes, but I'm sure you were expecting that would be the way when you embarked on it. But, congratulations on how it's gone so far. As you said, just a point away from becoming champions in your inaugural season. And the sky is literally the limit, easy for me to say. Cesare, thanks ever so much. It's great to chat with you, as it always is. But, about a project you're so passionate about, it was extra special for me. So thanks very much for sharing with me and all of the listeners.
It's my pleasure. Thanks very much. I hope, you know, it was interesting enough for you to make it all the way till the end. Again, Ben, thanks very much to you and everybody else at JTalk. I mean, you're doing a great service to everybody who loves Japanese football, and you're always a source of inspiration. And your support on this project as well as your support for everything which is related to Japanese football is amazing. So thanks a lot. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
That's great. Thanks again to Cesare. And yeah, everybody, let's get behind Kamui FC. They're definitely a club on the up. All right. So that's it for this special episode of the J-Talk podcast. I won't do my normal thank yous at the end, but all I'll do is say thank you for listening wherever you are. Speak to you again soon. Bye for now.
The J-Talk podcast. Yes, 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 yes.